for the last round interview of the week.
And now to our interview of the week. He is signed under Golden Boy Promotions, and I believe also Cameron Davies as a promoter. He is 14-0 with 11 KOs in fights on July 8th in San Antonio, Texas, on the undercard of Virgil Ortiz and Stanionis on DAZN. Floyd Kid Austin Schofield joins us this week on the last round. We appreciate you joining us, Floyd.
Oh, no problem. I appreciate y'all for having me.
Thank you so much. So what would you say was your first memory of boxing? Like, if you had to go back, like, what do you remember the first time being exposed to boxing? Was it watching it on TV or was it going to a gym? What do you think?
Oh, the first memory that I personally have, I would say, is training. Definitely training in the house, because we didn't have any boxing gyms around us. So yeah, training in the house with big gloves on.
Now, is that something that, like, you know, your family or your parents or your siblings kind of made you do? Like, you know, because sometimes, like, for example, I'm Mexican, so I grew up, you know, putting gloves on with, like, my brothers or, like, my cousins and stuff like that. Is that how it happened, or was it something that maybe you saw on TV and you just started kind of getting into the training side of it?
No, my dad always tells me he was a fighter and he was a trainer. So when he would be at the gym, I would just be in the playpen throwing punches, wanting to get out, punch the bag. So he eventually took me out and I started running around the gym claiming I'm the best boxer. So that's how it all got started. So it was just, yeah, too. So it was just, I guess, happened naturally.
Right. I saw an interview with your dad and he was saying at 5 years old, you were claiming you're the best boxer in the world ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know what was wrong with me.
No,
but I'm saying I'm not denying it because obviously I said it, I believed it. So, you know, it's just, I feel like it was just destined to be this way. So we're working towards that and going to prove everybody.
So there was, I don't know if you saw it, Floyd, but there was a recent video within the last couple of days or week or so of Floyd Mayweather's grandson, I believe. He was, like, throwing punches in the ring. And then, you know, I think there was also another clip of him, like, on top of a kitchen island, kind of doing some moves and stuff. It was pretty cool. Would you say that was kind of you back in the day when you were a kid?
I think so. I mean, my dad would know that better than me, but I believe so. I mean, there's video of me, you know, you just practicing my front words back side to side, you know, at like 4 or 5 years old. So I'm pretty sure I was hyper. Oh, my dad would tell me every time he came home from work, late night shifts, I would ask to do the bits. So I'm guessing, yeah.
Who was your dad's favorite fighter at growing up and when you were a kid? Who do you remember?
He said Sugar Ray Robinson.
So it's always been Sugar Ray Robinson.
Yeah, for some reason.
What about that
end up being mine? So.
What about you? Like, when you first kind of really got old enough to really appreciate the sport and kind of understand who the fighters were and kind of follow it, who was that first fighter that you kind of really looked up to?
First fighter, I would have to say, would probably been Floyd Mayweather. I'm pretty sure that was every favorite kid growing up fighter. Out of my generation, that was every kid's favorite, but. When I got older, I would say Sugar Ray Robinson, Marvin Hagler, Willie Pep. You start to respect the older fighters more because you realize that the fighters you were looking up to learned from those fighters.
What's the earliest memory of a fight that you saw on TV that just stands out in your mind?
On TV?
Yeah.
Probably Victor Ortiz and Floyd Mayweather or Shane Mosley and Mayweather. That's probably the youngest I can go, but yeah, that's probably about it.
What do you remember about the Mosley fight?
Him getting rocked. That one. And then I remember when I was younger, I always say Mayweather was a cheater because that Ortiz fight. But I mean, a fight is a fight. The ref said continue. So once I got older, realized, you know, he was supposed to do that. But yeah, definitely he got rocked in that Mosley fight. Crazy.
How old were you at that time during that Mosley fight?
Probably like 8. Yeah, 8 years old.
And you remember watching, because I think that was like one of the early rounds, like second or third when he got rocked. You actually remember seeing that moment when Floyd his knees got buckled?
I thought he was going to lose. I thought he was going to get knocked out. I thought he was going to get knocked out, but I was probably like 8 or 9 years old.
And what about the Ortiz fight? What do you remember of that fight?
I remember I was just saying he cheated. I held that forever, but once I got older, rewatched the fight, I was like, he didn't cheat. The ref said go. The ref was just looking the other way. But, I mean, he do got some dirty tricks, but it's boxing.
So kind of rewinding a little bit from those years, Floyd, in the early 2000s, you and your dad had some, you know, issues in terms of being homeless and all that. Can you talk to us about that and you know, how that timeline went?
I mean, it was kind of like he would remember more of it because he kind of like sheltered me away from it. So I can't really answer on it. I mean, we weren't we didn't have the most money or nothing. You know, I remember going to school and, you know, hand-me-down clothes and whatnot. But he always made it seem like we had stuff when we didn't. And even when we didn't have a boxing gym to go to, we used the living room. And at one time, he had opened a restaurant. And then I would come from school, do my homework, and then we would do mitts in the back of the restaurant. So he always found a way. So, yeah, I mean, it was pretty I want to say it was pretty rough on him more than me. I had it good in a way. You know, I wasn't exposed to it.
When was the first time you actually got punched in the face where you felt some type of pain?
I don't know if I'm tripping. I think I was, 7 when we went to Macon or something.
That you felt pain?
No, not pain. When I got punched, you know, the first time I sparred, I was small.
He told me, he said when you got punched in the face, it felt
pain. Oh, it felt pain? Oh, I didn't hear that.
Like, because I'm sure you got punched in the face, like playing, like at your house or in the living room. But the first time you actually felt a punch and you're like, okay, this is real.
I would probably say I got into a fight with my brother, Allion. He a little stuck. And it was kind of like, it wasn't with no gloves on or nothing too. And I'm older than him, so I thought I had him. But he actually hit me in my mouth. I don't know why we was fighting, but he hit me. And that was probably the first time I ever felt pain from a punch. But if we talk about boxing, I haven't really felt pain. It's more like a, I ain't gonna lie. You'll get a headache the next day. But as far as like in the fight, I can't recall feeling pain. I'm not, you know. Yeah, so it's a fight. So I'm not worried about the pain. The pain gonna come after the fight. So that's when I'm usually feeling the pain from like my hands and my body sore.
So at what age do you think that you knew that you wanted to pursue this? Because you're a third generation fighter, right?
Yeah.
So at what age do you think you realize like, okay, I'm gonna give this a shot?
Probably after that Devin Haney sparring. I got so much confidence after that sparring. And then that's when I was like, all right, maybe I can do it, you know, because in my head, I was always questioning myself growing up, like, maybe I suck. But once I had that Devin Haney sparring, I was like, okay, I can actually. I don't think I had one pro fight or I didn't
no,
have.
No, you didn't have no fights yet.
I didn't have one fight, so.
And you had the belt already.
Yeah, so I was, like, kind of not feeling it at that point. But after the sparring, I was on go. Now I'm on a roll. So
correct us if we're wrong, but I think and Mike was the one who told me this. I think during his research, but did you get a knockdown on Haney in a sparring session?
Everybody get that confused. I didn't knock him down, but he was this close to going down. I heard him bad, like, and it's like people would be like, oh, no, you didn't. It's like, bro, they got the footage. We told them to drop it like 100 times, but yeah, 2 years straight, but they didn't. So I left that alone. But yeah, everybody gets confused. I didn't drop him. Yeah, I stunned him really bad to like where the whole gym got quiet. His dad, his hype man, everything. It's crazy. Crazy experience at 17 years old, to be honest. And that's why I got my confidence.
So, Floyd, just talk us through it. Give us a commentary of what happened in that spa.
Okay, so...
No, we don't tell all that.
No, nah, but, you know, this is exclusive right here. So,
fuck with him with a shot in this.
No, thing, he wants me to go, like, when we got there. So, I'm going to just go off that. So, we get off the plane. They want us to go spar. We get there. I meet Devin. Devin, at that time, is a cool, humble guy. Bill is pretty chill. They asked me if I want to spar. We get in there, spar, and then they put it on 5-minute rounds. You know, mind you, I'm still an amateur and whatnot. I'm in Vegas. I'm not used to that air. So I'm like, it don't bother me. So first round comes around, second round comes. I hit him with the shot because he was trying to pull back counter, and I realized. So I hit him with the shot, legs buckled, gym got quiet. Third round, he started hitting me low. Just being a dirty fighter and whatnot, but I still got the better of that round. And the fourth round came around, my dad was like, this is where Bill is like, his dad, we stopped him. And it's like, nah, my dad was just like, you know, y'all not going to be fighting this dirty. So I finished out that fourth round and I got out. But besides that.
Who was Devin getting ready for?
Gamboa, yeah. He had the WBC belt. So yeah, he was getting ready for Gamboa.
And how would you rate him at that point, at least? Obviously he's improved a lot now and where he's at right now, obviously. But at that point, what did you think of him?
I didn't like him after he started doing that dirty stuff. I ain't gonna even lie a lot. I didn't like him after that, but he was all right. I mean, he had a quick jab, but that was about it. And like a sneaky uppercut. That was about it.
Have you been asked to spar, you know, any other high level fighters within your weight?
Yeah, I sparred with Shakur. I sparred with Robert Easter Jr. I sparred with Sean Porter, JoJo Diaz. Yeah. I was supposed to go back with Shakur, but they didn't.
The Mason brothers. Mm. I know, but they still.
Yeah, them too.
What do you remember about the JoJo Diaz sparring?
Oh, that was a funny experience because first day I get down there again, I'm not used to the air, and he's just like super aggressive because I was supposed to mimic Devin Haney. I didn't want to do that because I didn't want to fight like Devin Haney, but that's what they needed. So I'm mimicking him first day. You know, it's back and forth, but I'll say he got the first day. Second day. Oh my God. I got my win and I analyzed him. I didn't like the first day. And then after that, I wasn't allowed to spar him anymore. But that's just a funny story to tell, but we're still cool though. We're still cool. But second day, I got my revenge.
Out of all those names that you mentioned so far up until this point that you've sparred, which one does stands out in your mind the most? Like, okay, that was some of the best work I've ever had.
No.
Of course, my dad is going to say that. Yeah, I know him, but if I had to pick, I'd say Shakur.
Why?
Because he's smarter than all of them. All
right, but how much did he land?
He didn't land a lot of punches, I'm saying if we had to go, if they were going to fight each other, Shakur's coming out on top.
Oh, yeah, Shakur would beat all of them.
So,
except, I'm going to have a rough one with Tank.
Tank not going to touch him, I don't think. Am I? Tank will touch him, but... Who knows? And if I have been, then we'll know.
So do you think, you know, especially being, you've been in the ring with Shakur and you know, seen how he trains and been in there. Do you think that he, once it's all said and done, and they all those lightweights fight each other, that Shakur is going to be the one standing at the top?
No.
Besides you.
I gotta be, when I leave the division, yes.
We expect you to say you, but we, you know, who's the number two?
I would say Shakur.
I say Tank.
he's going to say Tank. I say Shakur.
Now,
I think if he could go to 130, he can become undisputed.
I think Tank because he ain't going to fight nobody.
Wait, what?
I think Tank because he ain't going to fight.
How is Tank coming out on top if he's not fighting
nobody? He's on top right now with the belt and ain't fighting.
No, he's talking about undisputed. No, Tank ain't getting undisputed. I don't think Tank could get undisputed in this weight division.
No.
I don't think so.
Because he ain't
140 probably, because 140 is kind of whack right now. I ain't gonna lie. 140? Teofimo.
Anyway, they
yeah.
How long do you think you'll are you making 135 pretty well right now?
Oh yeah. I'm gonna be at 135, I think, another. Because I feel like I'm done growing. Hmm. And it's sad, but I mean, I'm going to be 21 in August, so who knows? Maybe I might get one. But if I am done growing, then yeah, 135 will be the vision for about a year and a half, 2 years.
Do you have any plans for that 21st birthday? I mean, it's a pretty big number, man.
I don't ever really celebrate my birthdays because birthdays is all – I mean, my dad kind of installed in me that they was whack, so – birthday, I might watch a movie, the movie theater by myself, and take myself out to dinner or something. Yeah, I'll probably take myself out to dinner.
Are you that type of guy where you do a lot of things by yourself?
I mean, I'm in the house a lot, so I guess so. But I mean, if I have a friend to go out with, I'll probably go out with a friend. If not, then yeah, I'm with my dad.
I mean, you're in the ring. It's you against the other guy, right? So you're technically alone. So maybe that has something to do with it.
Oh no, I don't know. I don't like being around people because it gets to a certain point where, like, after an hour, I'm like, I'm not feeling it no more. But after that hour, we'll have the best time of our lives. But once I get bored, I'm ready to go.
Now, are you the type of fighter to have like a big entourage as you progress in your career?
I can't stand that. I can't. Like, even if I'm tired in the gym and somebody's like, come on, push you, I can't do that. Like, I don't like that. I like silence. I don't like
that entourage coming to the gym.
No, I don't want no entourage. I don't want
entourage. If you have staff, you got an entourage.
Staff is a no. Are you talking about entourage like in staff or people there rooting you on, trying to be your friend?
Well, just any of them, yeah.
Well, if they're quiet, yes. If they're quiet, yeah. I don't like all the rah-rah stuff and everybody trying to be your friend and whatnot. Nah.
Right. As you progress in your career and you start winning more and you become, you know, the fame elevates, there's a lot of fighters who their group grows and grows and grows, and some of them can handle it and some of them can't. But you're saying that you want to keep your circle tight.
I mean, yeah, because how can it grow? Those people don't know you. I mean, they only around you because you who you are. So, I mean, if it can grow, then nah, I ain't with it.
It can grow. You don't have to worry about it. That's why you got your daddy.
Yeah, he's still sore off. We'll see.
So we're assuming you haven't said it, but we're assuming that's your dad on the side, right? Talking to you.
Yeah.
How often, just based on the last couple minutes during this interview, how often do you guys go back and forth on things? Because it feels like you guys have a great relationship, but it feels like sometimes he'll say one thing and you say another, and then you guys kind of get into like a little debate about it. How often does that happen?
All the time. But I mean, we two men with ego, so, you know, he'll have an opinion, I'll have an opinion. Then, you know, he's a dad, so he feel like his opinion is the top opinion. Like, how does Shakur and Tank think? Like, you're not going to win no boxing debate with him. So, I don't even try. Nah, but, I mean, it's nothing crazy or nothing. We kind of just, we only like that with boxing. Outside of boxing, nah. It's just
like, is there one thing, whether it's boxing or food or anything else, that you and your dad are always kind of going back and forth on? Like,
food, boxing, that's about it. Besides that, man, it's not that. He don't get on my nerves, no. Like, when I'm not in camp and I don't have to really be into boxing like that, He pretty low key chill. He don't get on my nerves.
So you had 164 amateur fights, right?
I probably have more than that.
Is it more than that?
Oh yeah.
I think that's what we found. It might have been more. Sometimes it's wrong.
Young, so there's probably fights that they didn't even count.
Which
160?
Yeah, people say about that,
I guess so.
Which one, like, is there one name that pops out of all those amateur fights that you're gonna always remember?
Yeah, one just popped up now. I don't even know where he at. His name was Wilbur. He hit me the hardest, yeah. He hit me the hardest. And after that, I ain't never been hit with a shot that I don't feel nothing. So, yeah, Wilbur Hernandez in the Western qualifiers. Man, oh, man. That boy, he hit me with a right hook. I'm kid you not. I seen like three or four of them. I was like, man, what is this? So, yeah. That's the only one that stood out. Like, when you said that, he was the first person to pop up.
I wonder where he is now.
So, yeah, do you know where he's at? Where he's at now? Did he turn pro?
I don't think so. No, I don't think so. He was from Kansas City, so I doubt it.
So would you say, including your 14 professional fights, is that probably the hardest punch you've ever taken in an actual organized bout?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, and we had on headgear and 10-ounce gloves on.
Right
now, and no shot has ever come close to that shot. I mean, I don't think no shot ever will, to be honest.
Well, I mean, as you progress, you know, it might. But
but that one, nope, nah, because
be a mistake.
Yeah. I was trying to stand right in front of him. He was a banger. And that was a mistake right there.
How often would you say, because, you know, sometimes as a fighter, you kind of get into the moment. And sometimes you exchange with your opponent and stuff like that. How often would you say that you kind of find yourself flipping like that? And maybe like your dad might say, what are you doing? Like, you need to.
All the time, yo. All the time. And it, even in sparring. In sparring, I can't, like, because it'd be like, I just be wanting to let go of sparring, but he'd be like, move around, use your jab. I want to fight, but I mean, that's good. No, I'm slowing down, getting my jab right, slowing everything down. But I like fighting. I like fighting because I know they can't. A lot of fighters, they're not going to be able to deal with that. Once, you know, after that first round, if they can make it through that first round and just banging, and the back of their head, they're going to be like, nah, this ain't it. So then they're going to start running and, you know, anticipating shots that's going to make them get caught. So I just like fighting. But I could do it all.
You could do it all. Yeah, absolutely. So you had a FaceTime with Floyd Mayweather Jr. Talk to us about that phone call.
He called me on my pro debut because one of his friends had his number and decided to call him. And I always say this, his room at that time was like bigger than my whole apartment. Like, I kid you not, his bed was huge. I think he was watching like a game. He was betting on it for sure, how he was into it. But that had me like shocked, where like when I went out, I got the first round knockout and I was like, it was because of Floyd, that phone call. Sure.
What did he say? What encouragement did he give you?
He was just like, go out there, champ, and do your thing. And then he just turned back, looked at the TV, and was like, go get the job done. And then, yeah, that was it. Then he went back. I guess he forgot he was on the phone because he went back to the game and just left the phone there. I should have longer.
So, and then when you got signed by Golden Boy, I think we also read that Oscar De La Hoya messaged you on social media and you thought it was fake.
Yeah, when I was like 16, he had hit me. I remember I was training shadow boxing. My dad showed me the message. My dad was all hype. I'm like, bro, people create fake pages, yo. Like, I ain't real. So I click on the page and it's the verified, like 900,000 followers. I'm still like, nah, it's fake. But then once I actually start looking at the Instagram, I'm like, oh shoot, that's Oscar De La Hoya. So ever since then, it was chemistry. Like, he always giving words of encouragement, checking up on me, making sure I'm good. So a cool guy.
What did that message say? Do you remember what it said? Like, what did he just say? Hey, you know, good job, champ. Or what's what did it say?
What did he say?
First message.
Yeah. If he had to,
doing a good job, keep up the good work.
Yeah, I'm doing a good job. Keep up the good work. And then after, when we started progressing, then it was like he is actually interested in me. So, yeah.
I saw an interview with your dad where your dad said that he always thought or always wanted you to be signed to Golden Boy. He always knew that's where you were going to end up.
Yeah. Ever since I was like 13, 12, for some odd reason, I don't know why, I always thought I was going to end up with the money team. I'm glad I did. But yeah, that he made it come true. Because now we're here with Golden Boy. And I feel like that was the best decision we could have made. That was a real amazing decision. I don't know. Everybody be tripping, but I mean, they not the one in our shoes. So,
what do you remember about the first time meeting Oscar De La Hoya in person?
First time I met him, it was in my fight in Indio when I headlined. And then one, I didn't think he was that tall. He's kind of tall, a little. So one, I didn't think he was that tall. It might have been the shoes. But he was so excited to meet me and whatnot, and it was just good, you know, having him there front row watching me fight. So it was a good experience getting to meet him. Like it was crazy. Him and Bernard Hopkins.
What kind of words of encouragement did Bernard Hopkins give you?
And Bernard, he's like, oh my God, we love Bernard, but he can lecture just like my dad. I swear, yo, like it's like when he's encouraging you, it's like he's yelling at you. And it's like, I remember after my fight, I'm like, is he yelling? Like, did I do something bad? Is he like, but nah, he was just telling me like, yeah, he's very passionate when he speaks about boxing, like very passionate. I'm talking about the death stare and all, like he's very passionate.
He's still in shape, Floyd. You could get in, do a few rounds with him.
I can't do that. No, but he is in shape. He could probably fight one of these exhibitions. That would be pretty cool. We put on an exhibition for him.
So Ronnie Shields is still is still alongside your dad and training you, right?
Nah. He's my dad's assistant. Like he'll come to the fights to help out, you know, each fight. But as far as training, trainer.
How did you and your dad decide to bring Ronnie Shields onto the team? Out of all the, you know, people in boxing, how did you guys decide on Ronnie Shields?
Yeah, he had a lot of knowledge, my dad said. He knows how to create a champion. Me personally, I don't even know how they got in touch. But it happened, and they liked each other. My dad liked the knowledge he had, and you know, Ronnie's a good coach. So every time he comes, you know, we had a training camp together. So he knows me. He's watched me spar. So everything that we worked on there, we always have it when he comes here. And backstage, we work on everything. So it's just already there.
Like what's happening down in Texas? We've got you coming out with there, the Charlos, Franco, Bam Bam Rodriguez.
Spence.
I don't know. It might be something in the water. Who knows? But nah, I feel like Texans are real fighters, you know. It's tough out here. It's hot. Everybody's strong out here. The sparring partners are everybody's just strong out here. So you get the best work. So, and I just feel like once you move to Texas, it's like, I don't know. You just become a hardworking person.
You've stolen Anthony Joshua from the UK. He's in Texas now. Ryan Garcia's in Texas now.
Anthony Joshua's in Texas?
He's training with Derek James, right?
Oh, wow. Yeah. You know that. That's crazy. Everybody going to Derek James.
Yeah, everybody's in Texas right now. Staying on a Texas topic, Kid Austin. We're assuming that derives from Austin, Texas. Is that how you landed on that?
Yeah, that's exactly how I landed on it.
Is there any other nicknames that you and your dad or you thought of before you guys landed on Kid Austin?
Like in the same process as thinking of Kid Austin or just in general?
Just anything. Was there any other ones that were contenders? Like, oh, you know, maybe I should do this or that.
Nah, we ain't talking on that one. That was a bit. I had The Truth, but Errol Spence had that one, so I couldn't use that. The Great, that was kind of corny though. But nah, not really.
That was corny, Eric.
Yeah, it was corny. And then Kid Austin just happened to work because I was just a kid living in Austin. So
yeah. Oh, it happened at work. How did? What do you mean? What happened? Somebody called you that?
No. I'm saying we were at like a coffee shop, and my dad and these other guys, they were just thinking, they was like, why not Kid Austin? When I heard that, I was like, what? I didn't like that. But once it kind of got stuck, and we changed it to my Instagram. Everybody started calling me Kid Austin. I'm like, huh? And I got a bad ring to it. So I stuck with it.
It worked out, right? It worked out. Yeah. Transitioning to your fight on July 8th at the AT&T Center in San Antonio, Texas on DAZN, you're fighting Haskell Rhodes, who's 28-4-1. Obviously, he has like double the fights, professional fights as you. What do you know about Rhodes and how are you preparing for him? Without divulging too much.
I feel like Rhodes is he's a good fighter. You know, he was with Mayweather and them. And I just feel like this fight, I feel like he's going to come in, try his best in the beginning, then end up turning into a survivor. But definitely stopping him for sure. And we working towards that. We also working, if it goes the distance. But I know it's not. But all respect to him for taking the fight. A lot of fighters didn't want to take the fight. And like I said, he's a good veteran, and I feel like he's going to come in and try his best.
Floyd, do you and your dad look at much tape for opponents, or do you just really concentrate on what you're going to do, and they're the ones that have to solve your problem?
He watches a fight one time, and he'd be like, oh, they garbage. But he'll come up with the game plan while he's watching the fight, then he won't watch it no more after he has the game plan. Me, I watch him every morning, I watch his fight. I probably watch it once a day. I don't overdo it because, you don't want to, keep watching the fights. So you end up looking at his goods and be like, okay, you don't want to, I just study his flaws because I know he's going to come in and, throw his best combinations he got. So I'm looking at what I can capitalize on. So I watch every morning while I'm eating breakfast.
So you have 11 KOs out of your 14 total fights as of today. Two fights ago, when you fought at the YouTube Theater in Inglewood, California, against Alberto Mercado, you beat him by unanimous decision. But obviously, you're the type of fighter that likes to go for the stoppage. What happened to that fight? How come that wasn't a stoppage?
That fight should have been a stoppage. But one, I gave it to Alberto. He's tough. He's never been stopped. And everybody he's fought. But I do take the crown because I was the only one to floor him, in my opinion, 3 times. The ref said it was slips. But
that's the guy that we had the blisters on both feet.
Yeah, my feet were killing me. My feet were terrible after that fight. My feet were bleeding. I could barely walk out the arena. But I know not to make the mistake with the shoes again and the socks. So, yeah. That won't happen again. Because even with my feet being like that, I was able to put them on the ground and, lump them up. So if I had my feet and was able to turn on all my punches, I think he would have been out of there. I'd have been able to chase him down the whole fight.
Yeah, I think when we previewed that fight and that whole event and we talked about your fight, I think Mike had talked about
I was there.
The Mercado was going to be a pretty tough outing for you. And then I think I said, I was like, well, he's a knockout artist, but Mike, I think if I remember correctly, called it. He's like, I think he's going to have a tougher time than he thinks. And I mean, you got the win, which is great, but you obviously did, right?
Yeah.
Is there anybody outside of the boxing world that you look up to? Like, LeBron James, a Michael Jordan, a Kobe Bryant, anyone like that?
Besides your dad?
Nah, not really. I was never into basketball like that, so I was never into any other sports, so not really. Mm-mm. I don't even think I got a role model in boxing. Nah.
You're creating your own legacy, yeah, I guess. Yeah.
I got into that like looking up to somebody because we was always busy doing us, so I never really got the chance to.
Right. Absolutely. Say it again.
That I should find that person, right?
Well, when you have that person, you make sure to come back and tell us. So, but I mean, sometimes you just don't. Like you said, sometimes you just people don't have role models and they just want to do it themselves and create their own path, right?
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
One final question before we wrap it up here. Obviously, we appreciate your time here, and we know you're preparing for the fight next Saturday on July 8th. Do you get nervous still? I don't want to say still because I don't know, but do you get nervous before any fights?
Nah. And it's crazy, yo. I swear. I don't get nervous. Sometimes it'd be like I get anxious. Like I get anxious to the point where I'm putting on my outfit 3 hours, 4 hours before the fight. Like that. But as far as nervousness, no, because I know I'm gonna go in. I know it's a fight. Realistically, I'm gonna get punched in the face. So
not mad
in the fight, you're gonna get hit in the face at least once. Yeah, you see, okay, that's just true. They'll try to punch, and if it happens, it happens. So there's nothing you can control going into the fight. It's ever destined to be is what's going to happen. So, I mean, I get nervous for the other guy, really. Like, the last guy, I'm serious. When the last guy knocked out, I was, like, hoping he was getting up. I mean, I know that's kind of weird because the job is to do that, but I was hoping he was gonna get up, and I got like my heart beats fast for that person. But nah, I don't get nervous. As a kid I did because I wasn't really a fighter. I was just doing it because make my dad proud and just you know doing it as a hobby. But now I know it's a fight, so nah, I don't get nervous because that one glimpse of nervousness, if you can show it, then they feed off that. So you can't be nervous.
Floyd, I read that your dream fight is to have a fight at the Memorial Stadium on the campus of the University of Texas in Austin. Yeah. Who would the, so obviously it's, you know, it's years from now. Who would the potential opponent like to be?
John Davis.
I was going to say the same thing. So I can bring him to Texas and spank him in front of my home.
Your dad shot with Keyshawn Davis?
Yeah, definitely.
Why him though? Like, is it because he's a Texas fighter as well?
No, nah, Keyshawn from Virginia, but
is he Virginia?
Yeah, but the main reason we want Keyshawn, he's just disrespectful. I just want to show him, like, bro, you don't, like, I don't care who you talk, you don't talk to people like that, but. That's just really it. Like, I have nothing against him. I feel like he's a great fighter. Like I always say, he wouldn't have got the silver medal. He wasn't a pretty good fighter. But I feel like in a 12-round fight, he's not taking my punches. And I'm not going to stop coming because I got something to prove. Like, you talk too much. I'm not letting you out that ring. So
You need a world title belt on that fight, though?
No, I don't even want one. I don't even want one. Just give me him. And I'll be satisfied.
Wow.
What about one last thing? He's obviously a promoter stablemate of yours in a sense. William Zepeda, he's at 135. Would you be open to that fight in the future?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't he go up?
No, I think he's staying at 135. But, oh, yeah, I'll be open to him. I'll be open to Isaac Cruz. Zepeda, I feel like he had too many openers. I feel like he has too many openings. He throws too many punches. He don't block his body.
Okay,
my bad. I'm over here. You see, you don't got. But hopefully that's a good potential fight. Him, Linares, Isaac Cruz, maybe Ryan. Who knows?
Yeah, you definitely got a lot of names in the division. So you got a lot of options.
Oh yeah.
Well, Floyd, we obviously appreciate your valuable time here on the Last Round podcast. You know, obviously good luck on your fight on DAZN on July 8th. Before we let you go, go ahead and plug any social media or anything that that you got where people can follow you and keep up with your career, man.
My Instagram is at Ken_Austin1. Yeah.
And that's for everybody. They can all keep up with you there?
Yeah, and I got all the other stuff in the bio, I think. Twitter and everything. I don't know my Twitter because I don't be on Twitter.
What are your final parting words for your fight on July 8th against Haskell Rhodes?
Like talking to Haskell Rhodes?
Yeah, go ahead. Do it.
Thank you for taking the fight. I know you're coming to do your thing, but it's not. Yeah, I'll see you in the ring. Not really.
What's that?
Yeah, I'll see you in the ring.
Absolutely. Well, Mike, as we finish up this interview, Mike, go home, before we finish up here, go ahead and let them know where they can find us and follow us.
We are at The Last Round 12 on Instagram and Twitter, and be sure to join us next week.
So for our guest of the week in Floyd Kid Austin Schofield, 14-0 with 11 KOs, who fights Haskell Rhodes on July 8th from the AT&T Center in San Antonio, Texas on DAZN. From my co-host, Michael Shepard, I'm Danny Z. This is The Last Round.
Thanks for supporting and listening to the show. Follow us at The Last Round 12 on social media. Rate, review, and subscribe. This is The Last Round Podcast.